Many different gods are represented here in Olympic Park. All but one are false. Now that might not fit me in the coexist camp, but it is true.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith.
Well, welcome to Cross Encounters Radio. As you can probably guess, I am not Tony. I am the ever faithful sidekick and screen caller, Chris Honholz. And if you guys can hear me in there, would you let me know in the chat room if you're hearing me so far and how I'm coming through? And just wanted to welcome you to the show. This is literally the sidekicks have taken control. We are in here tonight trying to bring, encourage you as Christians in the faith to share the gospel. I am helping Tony out tonight by helping him as he is on his way back from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He's been out there preaching and sharing the gospel with folks, and I'm sure the next time he comes in, we're going to have some good information from him. And excuse me a second here, folks. And we're just looking forward to hearing the wonderful things that God did with him the last time that when he was out there. And as I'm now the one running the show tonight, so to speak, and I covered your prayers as we go into this. My backup, my faithful sidekick tonight is Shane. And Shane Dotson, and he is, you hear, are you on, Shane? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I hear you just fine, brother. I'm glad to have you with me tonight. Certainly makes it a whole lot easier than trying to go this alone. I'm grateful for having you back me up, brother, and let me tell you.
I'll do what I can. I make no promises, but I'll do what I can.
Well, I really appreciate it, let me tell you. Folks, tonight, basically what we're going to do, the format of the show is that Tony has loaded up several sound bites that he would like to share. We have an open air from Richard Peskett, who is a student at the Master's Seminary. He and Tony and some others went out to North Hollywood Metro Station, and Richard did a wonderful open air sermon that I think you guys are going to find very informative and very edifying. And certainly some things that I thought when I heard it that really I think we can use and be mindful of as we're sharing the gospel with folks. Also, as always, Tony has been going out to the abortuary clinic and trying to engage folks on a regular basis, hoping that maybe in sharing the gospel with them and telling them from God's word what is really going on in there, and please, you know, don't kill your baby. And I think this is something that's important for us as Christians to hear this kind of information and encourage us, because that's what we, as much as we want to preach the gospel to people, we also want to be watching for opportunities to help folks and understand that what they're doing is murdering children, and we want to see that come to a stop. Also tonight we have 3 one-to-one encounters that Tony did that involve the 3 minutes to live scenario. And if you're not sure what that is, basically 3 minutes to live is when you ask someone, if you as a Christian knew I had 3 minutes to live, what would you say to me if you knew I was going to stand before God? And for me, as I listen to these, and we'll talk about it more, it really, I thought, what a great opportunity to interact with someone, not only to determine really are they saved and do they know the gospel, but if they aren't saved, if they are saved, I should say, what an opportunity to educate them in the right sharing of the gospel. So those are some things we're going to try and go through tonight, and hoping to again, educate and edify all of you, and we're more than anything, we're hoping to get you fired up about sharing the gospel, because there's a lost and dying world out there that desperately needs to hear this that message that Christ came to save sinners. And so we hope that anything we do here tonight will be encouraging to you in that. And, of course, more than anything, what we want to do is glorify the name of God. Now, Shane, since I've got you on here, and before we get into the show, a lot of the folks on here have had an opportunity to listen to Tony and know where he comes from and learn a little bit about me. But you're kind of new to all to us, the rest of us. So how would you, in a nutshell, give us who you are and your background and how you got into this?
Well, I knew Tony from back in 2010. My wife and I went to the Ambassadors Academy back in April 2010, I believe. And so I knew Tony from back then, and got to know him a little bit better just over the years. I did some work for Living Waters during their campus outreaches, like the Origin of Species handout and the 180 DVD handout. So I kind of kept in touch with him over the years with that. And then, a couple weeks ago, I was on the show to give my testimony about being a false convert till December of last year when God saved me. So I was actually, a practicing street evangelist for between 2 and 3 years before God actually saved me. And then we saw Tony again this past summer when he went to Syracuse to speak at the Ball College, John Speed's the college he has out there in Syracuse and part of his church plant. And so I got to spend some time with him then, some more fellowship. And I've been keeping in touch with Tony and his ministry, and it's been a real blessing to me, and he's really helped me just by listening and by watching a lot of his videos and his audios. He's really helped me in with the open-air preaching. And of course, since open air preaching as a saved man I'm kind of relearning everything that I learned, when I was a lost person doing it. It's different now. It's a whole different ball game. So he's been really helpful in helping me along with that. And I'm just happy to have this opportunity now to help you guys out. And I'm here in Norman, Oklahoma. That's where I'm at right now. So you're over in Nevada. I'm in Oklahoma. So
that's awesome. That's what the wonders of modern technology. We've got people listening from all over. We've had folks listening overseas. We've had people all around the country coming into the chat room. And here we are, three guys: one in California, one in Nevada, one in Oklahoma, and we're able to run this thing on a shoestring budget. To be able to, to get this out there. What a time for us to be living in. And let me tell you, Shane, we are grateful that you're out there preaching the gospel. We're grateful that God saves you and opens your eyes. And I am extremely grateful to have you with me tonight, because I'd be running this show all by myself. And that's a scary prospect, not just for me, but for anybody who has to listen to me.
you're doing a good job, brother.
I appreciate it. Well, folks, as we get ready to get into the show, there was something I wanted to share with everybody tonight that's been on my mind as we've been getting ready going into this week. And I'm sure a lot of folks watched the presidential debate, and there was a lot of hoopla around that. A lot of folks who said Mitt Romney won it, a lot of folks who are trying to excuse why President Obama didn't do as well as he should have. And it really kind of reawakened in my mind something that I had actually blogged about not long ago, and that is, as Christians, for two things. One, what level of involvement should we have in politics? And number two, what is really the most important thing for a Christian? Is it politics? Is it rescuing the nation? And watching the debate this weekend, that just kind of reminded me that as Christians, we do have liberty, according to Scripture, to be involved in the political process. And I think it's important that a lot of us do. Everybody has to decide that individually, what level that means. For some folks, that means getting behind certain candidates and being involved in the promotion process. For others, it's simply doing their civic duty to go in and cast their vote. One thing I would encourage Christians, though, is never let somebody wrap you into a camp and say, we must get involved at this level. If you're truly a Christian, you have to vote for this guy. If you're truly a Christian, you have to be this involved in this area. I don't think that's what God would have us do. I don't think we're supposed to be wrapped into one giant group of people who have to be particularly involved at a certain level. You're going to have to decide the level for yourself. But I think good stewardship, which the scriptures do teach, we are put in a place as Christians to have a voice in our government through a representative process. And I think we do, good stewardship would call us to be involved and to be informed on the issues. But when all is said and done, the second part of the issue when I wrote my article, was that when is everything is said and done, King Jesus is still sitting on his throne. Folks, if election day comes and goes and we have the worst of two evils, then we're still in the situation we're in, or it's getting worse. Jesus is still sitting on his throne. People are still dying in their sins, and judgment is still coming. And as Christians, our command from Christ is not that we go out and rescue the nation, but in fact, our command from Christ is to go out and preach the gospel. Because ultimately, we all know that there's coming a time when God is going to put an end to this world. And no matter what your line of eschatology, you know, whether you believe there's an Antichrist and a 1,000-year reign and a 70-year tribulation, or you're amillennial, or whatever point you look at, we all would agree that at the very end of this, it's going to burn. This world is going to be destroyed. So the temporal things of politics and government are one day going to go away, and the government will be on Christ's shoulders. And the thing that has ultimate eternal implications is when people die from now till that day, if they die in their sins, they die going to hell under the judgment of God. So the most important thing that we can do as Christians is to be preaching the gospel. So from now till election day and thereafter, don't just be consumed about who's going to win and trying to rescue the nation, but be consumed with those who are dying and going to hell. Because if we have so much energy, so much effort and time spent in the political process, yet we allow our neighbor next door to just simply pass on by and go away and never have preached the gospel to him, then we may have, if we win the nation, for example, and we got every law, moral law passed, and we got every person that needs to be set up in a great capitalist system, but everybody's comfortable and they're still going to hell, then it's no benefit. So my encouragement to Christians is preach the gospel. Be involved in the political process at whatever level you choose to be at based on what God has given you, but be more consumed with the lost. Be more consumed with those who are dying and perishing in their sins and going to hell. So something that I was hoping to share in that particular issue, just to pass on to you guys and hopefully get you something to think about as we're coming on up on this election process. What about you, Shane? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I would agree with what you said and just emphasize the fact that God ultimately appoints all leaders, all world leaders. You know, that we go in and vote, and we're to carry out that duty as citizens. But ultimately, God raises up leaders. God takes leaders out, and according to His sovereign will. And if we have four more years of Obama, then we need to commit to praying for him. And that's been really convicting to me lately. I don't want to get off on the political thing, but just about praying for our leaders, because I wonder if all those, you know, all those people who are very critical of Obama, and I've certainly been critical of Obama, how many of us have actually committed to praying for him on a regular basis? I would venture to guess probably not many. And I say that from my own perspective. I mean, I know I have not. And I know that if we do get four more years, we especially the church, I mean, we need to commit to seriously praying for our leaders.
You know,
I expect God to do a big work there. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right. Actually, I can't disagree with that at all. In fact, our pastor today in church made a point of saying that if what a sad thing it would be if our leaders died and went to hell condemned under their sins. You know, the highest office in the land, they get to the point where they are the most powerful man in the world, and yet if they were to die and go to hell in their sins, that is absolutely just sad to think about. And any of your representatives, any government official that you know about, folks, please, by all means, be praying for them. And if God opens the door of opportunity, be sharing the gospel with them too. Don't just send letters of how much you disagree with a policy or some other issue or how you want them to vote. I mean, go ahead, please, let's give our voice. But take time. Write them a letter. Send them a gospel tract. Send them a video that explains the gospel that might help them not just be a better representative, but also to be committed to Christ, because even if they get into office where we want them, if they die and go to hell in their sins, it doesn't do them any good in the long run. So, I'm seeing in the chat room that the sound is breaking. Is anybody else having any problems? Okay. I'm gonna continue to keep speaking, but Shane, if you see me, if you hear me dying arced out there, would you jump in for me?
I will do that. You're doing fine, but I did hear your voice is breaking up.
Okay.
I don't know if that's both of us or just you. I'm not sure.
Well, it might be me. I just brought in a new modem. I'm going to do my best. But what we're going to do is go ahead and transition into the audios that Tony set up. The first one I want to share with you is an open-air sermon from Richard Peskett. And they said he is a master seminary student. And he was out with Tony Viano recently at the North Hollywood Metro Station. And I'm going to go ahead and cue that up now, and we'll talk about that a little bit once that's done. Here we go.
Good morning. What a privilege it is to come and speak to you this morning and to share with you the Word of God. Some of you may recognize from my accent that I'm from England. And you may know William Wilberforce. Anyone know who William Wilberforce was? William Wilberforce, 1833 in the UK, the abolition of the slave trade was made official. The Act was passed and the slave trade was abolished. And I wish I could say that that was the end of the slave trade. I wish I could say that that was the end of slavery. But this morning, I want to bring the bad news before I bring the good news. And the bad news is that we are all slaves. You and I are in slavery. I look back to the 19th century and I think of those slaves that were carted from Africa to here and to the UK. And I think of the conditions that they had to endure, how they were manacled and packed into those ships. Slavery can be such a dreadful thing. 1833, it is abolished. And yet, you and I are slaves. Slaves to something. Slaves to what? Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He was speaking to Jews. And the Lord Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, he said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, truly my followers, truly my pupils, if you like. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Wouldn't it be great to be free? We're just bound and shackled by so many things in life. He said, the truth will set you free. But they answered him, we're offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free? Listen to this. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Jesus said everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Now maybe you don't know what sin is. Maybe you think sin is simply taking a cookie from the cookie cart jar when you're told not to. It's something that you feel slightly bad about. The Bible's teaching is that sin is lawlessness. God, the creator, the loving creator of the whole universe, the rightful ruler of the universe, the rightful ruler of you and of me, he has given us an instruction manual. He's told us how to live to please him, that we might know him and love him and enjoy him. We look at the Ten Commandments, we see something of his character and how we're to live. And yet we willfully rebel against God and think that we know better how to run our lives. So we steal. We might not call it stealing, but we just don't have regard for other people's property that we should have, that God has said we should have. We lie. We're economical with the truth. We don't tell the whole truth when it serves us. Why? Because we love ourselves rather than loving God as we should. Jesus said if we look lustfully at a woman in our hearts, we've committed adultery. That's more sin. I probably don't need to tell you that you've sinned, but do you realize how serious it is? Jesus said, if you do sin, you are a slave to sin. You're enslaved to it. You're no different to those Africans who were shackled in the hull of the ship. There was nothing they could do to free themselves. And then they were brought here to America, and still they're shackled. They would love to be free, but they couldn't. And maybe in your heart of hearts, you would like to be free of some sin that you just find yourself doing over and over again. And you try to lay it aside, but you can't. You're powerless. You'd like to do what was right. Maybe you've been brought up hearing something of the gospel, and you see Christians and the lifestyle that they live, and you think, if only I could be like them. And there is something that you know you are enslaved to. That is the reality, my friend. Jesus said, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. But Jesus came to set the captive free. The Lord Jesus Christ came to set people free, which is why he was able to go on and say, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Know, friends, that in your sin, in your enslavement to sin, there is nothing that you can do about it. But Jesus Christ came into the world to set sinners free. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Romans, was speaking about such slavery, and he summed it all up like this. Now listen, because this is God speaking. This is not Richard sharing his opinion with you. This is God's undeniable truth. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you serve a slave master, you expect some reward, you expect some wage. Some of you are going off to work today. You're going to put in a day's work. You deserve your wages. It's what you expect to get, and rightfully so. Wages are something that you deserve and you get. What are the wages of sin? The wages of sin is death. We might not see that far ahead into the future. We might not think that that's coming. But God promises the wages of sin is death. We are slaves to sin. Sin is our slave master. What does this slave master sin pay? Death. That is separation from God. You and I are going to die someday. Paul is talking about more than that. He is talking about eternal death. That is a life lived forever in hell. Eternally being punished by God because of our sin. And God does not delight to see people punished in that way. He is just and he will punish sin. He's promised that. And here he states as clearly as is possible, the wages of sin is death. But, don't you just love buts? This is what we deserve. Sin pays its wage, death. That is what we deserve. Just as surely as you deserve a wage at the end of your day or at the end of the month because you've worked, sinners deserve death. That punishment from God for eternity. But the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Some people, knowing that they're enslaved to sin, knowing that they can't live lives the way they want to, knowing that they keep rebelling against God and doing things that they know to be wrong. God's word makes it plain that it is wrong, that God hates it, that it is an offense to him. And people try just to pull themselves up by the bootlaces to do a little bit better. Friends, that is not the way we are going to deal with our problem of sin, because we can't do anything about our problem of sin. The wages of sin, what we deserve, is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We receive forgiveness of our sin. We receive this free gift not by earning it, not by just trying harder, but by receiving this gift from the Lord Jesus Christ, by repentance and faith as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where we find freedom from this slave master sin. This is where we find life. It is found in Christ Jesus, who came into this world to set the captives free, who came into this world to give his life as a ransom for many, who rose from the dead and assures us that one day we will see him. And if we have repented of our sins, and if we are trusting him, we will enjoy life with him forever. And then, on that day, when we see him, we will be like him. We will be free of our sin forever. Why? Because if the Son sets you free, that is, if the Lord Jesus Christ sets you free, not your own effort, not trying harder, but if the Son sets you free, then you shall be free indeed. Friend, you are enslaved by sin by nature. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin. Repent of your trying to earn salvation. Trying to earn forgiveness of sins. Receive the free gift of God through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God wants us to be in no doubt that forgiveness, freedom from sin, is not something that we find by looking to ourselves, searching deep within, from trying harder, but from receiving this gift, this free gift from Almighty God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people here may have thought, that's wonderful. Well, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to live as I like. No, as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we submit to him. He becomes our new master. He becomes our Lord. We gladly and willingly submit to his lordship. And that's what repentance means. We go from being a slave of sin, living our old lives, to gladly and joyfully being a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus is not a hard taskmaster, and the reward from following him is not death, it is not hell, it is eternal life with him. He gives us grace day by day to live for him. It was the Lord Jesus who said, come to me, all you who are weary, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A hard slave master does not say to that. Today, won't you repent of your sin? Won't you turn your back on your old slave master, sin, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life that we might be set free, as we turn to him, as we trust in him alone, as we receive that free gift of eternal life. Here is a promise, friend. This is the word of God. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That gift, That free gift of forgiveness is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who shows his lordship over all creation by having been raised from the dead. Won't you come to Christ today, repent of your sins, and turn to Jesus Christ, the one, the only one, who sets us free from enslavement to sin. We have Bibles up here, free Bibles. If you've never read the Bible, and if you're serious about finding out more about this free gift, which is offered through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, come and take a Bible. Read through one of the Gospels. Come and speak to us if you have any questions. But please do not go away this morning in any doubt that if you continue in your sin, if you continue in your sin, your reward is death, eternal punishment in the fires of hell. Jesus came to save us from that. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Well, if you're like me, when you first heard that, I was just amazed at how well Richard did in just explaining the issue of us being slaves to sin. That is something I don't think most people stop to think about, that we, in fact, are bound as slaves to our sin. When you sit and talk with someone and ask them whether they think they are a good person, more often than not, what they're going to tell you is, yeah, I think I'm good. And when you talk to them about how the different things that they do are sins, what is the most common response? Well, yeah, I make some mistakes. Yeah, I'm not perfect. But the underlying thought behind that is, I'm still a decent person. My good weighs out my bad. And Richard does a really great job of painting that picture of slavery, that you are not free, that you are bound to a master. And in this case, as the Bible tells us, we are bound in sin. And he does a fantastic job of just explaining that anything you do is if that sin, if that sin-tainted motives, and the fact is that nothing we do is good before God. And so with folks trying to justify themselves, if we can, as Richard did, take them through not only the gospel to explain that what is sin, but to take them through scripture and show them that in fact they are bound to their sin, that they actually are not good people by definition, because what they are doing is they are not doing anything to satisfy God, but they're satisfying their true master, their sinful heart. And this is what's amazing when it comes to using scripture and using theology. Richard is getting just gobs of theology taught to him by just a really good school. And he's able to take that and go out onto the streets and share that with the public who would probably never, ever, ever walk into a church. Or if they do, they might go in on Christmas and Easter when it's kind of the mandatory holidays that you go to church on. And so he's taking that theology that you and I will sit down and listen to sermons on an iPod, we'll tear into a book, we'll go into church and listen to good sermons, and we're growing in theology. But theology isn't just for us to get intelligent on. We then take that and apply it, and we can take good theology like Richard did, explaining slavery to sin, and take it out to the public and show them their good deeds are filthy rags because they are, in fact, bound by chains in their sins. So that would, you know, if there's anything that we can take from what we hear from Richard is Bible study and growing in theology isn't just an intellectual exercise. It's an opportunity to grow in our knowledge of the Lord, grow in their knowledge of the Word, and give it to the public who doesn't know anything about it. And then the thing he also did that I loved is then he showed that it's not just, well, I raised my hand in Bible group and I said the prayer and walked the aisle. Great, I believe in Jesus. Now I can continue to live as I want because Jesus forgives me. No, we trade that slave ownership from our sin to our true master, Jesus Christ. And now we become a slave to Christ. And that, I think, is something that most modern-day America especially has just never heard. We think of, you know, you see the T-shirts, Jesus is my homeboy, or Jesus loves you, or, you know, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And we don't stop to think, when we get that bumper sticker theology, that what it means to proclaim Christ is to proclaim He is our Lord and our Master. So I really liked listening to Richard's open air because he talked about those two issues. You're not just a decent person who messes up once in a while. You're a slave to sin. But to repent, to turn from your sin, and put your faith in Jesus Christ means to proclaim Him as your Lord and Master, and now you're His slave, and He's a good Master, a kind Master, and one who has died to save you. So that's something that I think we can all benefit and grow from, because we can now take that kind of thinking out into the mission field and talk to our neighbors and talk to our friends. And I think Richard did a fantastic job, and I think it was a real blessing to be able to hear him. Shane, what do you think as far as the open air? What did you take from it?
I enjoyed it. I was listening very intently. Just his accent, you know, the accent here in America. You know, people are going to stop and listen because, you know, most people don't talk like that here. But beyond that, obviously, like you were talking about, the theology is very sound, and he began with an illustration about William Wilberforce, which, you know, he's not exactly a household name, but a lot of people know who he is just because of the movie that came out, and he's an important figure in history. So he started with that, and he was able to very easily segue into John 8, which is that's a very meaty chapter, you know, doctrinally speaking, in the Bible. And he made it very accessible. He made the doctrine very accessible. He explained it. He cited the verse where Jesus said everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin, and then he expounded on it, which is good. I think we as open air preachers, we need to, when we will read scripture about, you know, it's very helpful to expound on these things and really explain and really make it personal to the listener. And you were talking about people who we preach to. They might go to church one or two times a year. You'd mentioned that, Christmas or Easter. And that's another thing to bear in mind, too. I mean, I'm out in Oklahoma. I'm in the Bible Belt. And I think we do a lot of assuming here that, well, people are just, there's a church on every corner, literally here. So people are going to be in church on Sunday, and we're just very well-churched people. But we have a lot of people around here who don't go to church. And I think the open-air preachers being out there, we need to bear in mind, we may be the only church these people see. And I've heard the objection when we're out there, one of the objections I hear, I don't know if this comes from Christians or just angry lost people, but they'll say, well, you know, save this. They'll hear us preaching, and they'll say, save this stuff for church. You know, this isn't Sunday. You know, save your stuff for church. And my response to that has been, well, these people probably aren't going to be in church on Sunday. You know, we're out here because these people are not going to be in church, and they're not going to be doing these things. And so it was a blessing to hear him, because he, he was very confident in the Word of God, and he sounded very confident in the Word of God.
I absolutely agree, and you made some really good points on that. It's one of those things when you hear someone who is confident in the Word of God, knows that the Word of God is true, and there's no hesitation on the power that that carries with it. And I have to agree, it really was a blessing. And you said that, you know, you wonder if maybe sometimes it comes from Christians or non-Christians. I think that's probably half and half. It's probably, you probably get it from both ends. But the simple fact is that, when we go out and we're preaching the gospel, we're following the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going out there and we're sharing the gospel with people. And despite those objections, we've got to go out there and we've got to share it. Okay, well, we're going to change gears here real quick, but before we do that, I think I saw it mentioned in chat room, but I got a text from Tony. He has landed in California, so he is on his way home. He's made it safely, praise God. We're grateful to see him back home, and we're just glad that he'll be continuing to work in that mission field and continuing to preach the gospel and getting people equipped. That being said, one thing I want to encourage folks, and if you're listening to the show now live, or if you're tuning in by podcast, Tony is he's basically a free agent working for the Lord in the mission field, equipping Christians with sound doctrine to go out and preach the gospel. He is also out there day in, day out, sharing the gospel with people. And if God has blessed you to where you can give to a missionary, I'm going to ask you to consider doing that for Tony. If you go to his website, tmiano.com, there's a donations page. And with all the math involved that they figure it would take to run the ministry the way he hopes that God will allow him to do, if we can get as little as $20 per month, the commitment from people as little as $20 per month to give to him, to give to his ministry. That ministry that has blessed so many of us, as Shane said before, he was a blessing to Shane. I tell you, friends, he is a huge blessing to me and a mentor and a good friend. And if we can, give just that little bit to help his ministry keep running and be a blessing to those out there in the mission field, to be a blessing to those in the churches learning, and to be a blessing to those who need to hear the gospel, I'm just going to ask you to do that. Now, I'm not asking you to give out beyond what you don't have, okay? If you are not in that position, if you have debts that you have to cover, if you have food that you have to put on the table, please do not take away from that. And never, ever take from your local church to do it, okay? You take care of your debts, you take care of your family, you take care of your local church. And the reason I'm saying that is because I know that's what Tony would say. And please, do that first. And then, if the Lord has blessed you to do it, if you are able to, consider prayerfully of helping Tony's ministry so that this program can stay on the air, so that he can be out there preaching the gospel and training up the next generation of open-air preachers. So that's just my encouragement for you guys. I know that's always that, people hear that, oh, great, they're begging for money. That's not what we're doing here. God will take care of Tony in whatever means he has for him. But I'll tell you right now, I want to help him. I know there's a lot of others that are trying to help, and I'm just asking you guys to just think about it. If God has opened that door for you, please prayerfully consider working in that area to help him. All right, so as I said, we're switching gears now. The next thing that we're going to roll into is Tony has made a commitment to go out and be at the abortion clinics on the days that they are going to do abortions. And he tries to interact with people as they come to the abortuary, the place where they're going to murder children. And as you listen to these things, please listen to the compassion in Tony's heart. Listen to his voice and listen to the things that he says, because we may not be the people that will stand on a street corner next to Planned Parenthood, but we very well could know someone who is considering abortion. And it's such a huge issue in this day that it would be naive to think you won't ever run into this. And I'd like to share this with you because I want you guys to benefit from that and hear his compassion and hear the things that he says, so that as God puts us in these situations, not only can we defend life, but we can draw people to Jesus Christ as we do so. So here is Tony outside the abortuary.
She's one of the nurses.
Yeah.
Great. I'm great. Thanks. How are you?
Good.
You're looking good.
She's
so cute. Sweetheart, Black Infant is very good. They want us to tell that African American girls to go up there. They're in Suite 300.
Oh.
And there's 7 or 8 Black Infant staff gals. And they're very friendly and she's wonderful. So she's great. The lady in the new BMW, we think she's like the head honcho.
Oh, really?
She's like maybe late 50s. Maybe she's the one that's doing abortions. I don't know.
Wow.
She's number one. Good morning. Here's the next one right here.
Ma'am, please don't participate in these abortions today. These are lives that you're taking. Please do not kill any babies today. Ma'am, this has to be going against your conscience to do this. You know it's wrong.
Yeah.
She's a big interest.
Okay. All righty.
Wow, place is packed today.
Can I talk to you ladies before you go inside, please? It'll just take a minute. Please talk to these ladies before you go inside. There are alternatives. You do not have to have an abortion today. Please don't participate in the abortions today, ma'am. You don't have to do this. Good morning. Good morning.
But the lady walking up here in the dull green outfit is one of the practitioners.
Ma'am, please don't participate in any abortions today. Ma'am, there are more at stake here than your job and your livelihood. There are lives at stake.
The parking lot's filling pretty early today. Number of people have come in already. Further abortion, so sadly it looks like it's going to be a busy day.
Can I talk to you before you go inside? You're already late for... Are you having an abortion today?
No.
Well, that's why everyone's here this morning. Ma'am, please don't participate in these abortions today. Please don't. Ma'am, according to the color of your scrubs, you are...
Good morning. It's going to be a warm one for the dogs, huh?
Yeah, it's already too late to walk them, but...
Yeah, got to walk them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a good day, sir. Folks, can I talk to you before you go inside?
I've already tried to
talk. Well, honest, there are alternatives. If you'll just give me a minute, it's worth it. If you'll just give me a minute, it's worth it. There's no reason to flip me off, ma'am. That's your baby you're carrying. That's your baby you're carrying. The man with you doesn't even want you to kill your baby. Please don't.
Oh.
Oh. What's that? No. I believe you.
She would have done that one if you could.
Okay. All right.
Well, I also want to hear you coming. I'm just fighting you.
What's that?
I want to hear you out.
Okay. There's still time, young man. There's still time, buddy. There's still time. Come on, you can go in there.
Wow.
Good morning. Hope you got lots of water today.
Oh, yeah.
Have a good day, sir. Thank you for not going inside. There's a place right across the street, ma'am, who can give you alternatives. We can help. We really can help.
Yes.
A young lady just went in and came back out. What's that?
Why have you been doing this?
Well, the ladies have been here for years. I've only been here a month or two. My name's Tony. What's your name?
Joe.
Joe? Good to meet you, Joe.
So, talk about it. What's going on?
Well, I mean, they're doing abortions in here, up to 50 a day.
Right.
And so we're trying to plead with people not to murder their children.
Right.
And then share alternatives with them and share the gospel with them. One young lady walked in with her boyfriend and
saw that.
Flipped me off, and she just walked back out. Just walked back out.
So is she going back in?
Well, no, they're in the car. They're in the car now, so she came back out. So hopefully she's not going
the
to kill her baby today.
The guy wants it. And...
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't want her to do it, but he drove her here. So, Joe, do you have any spiritual beliefs?
Yeah, I have a church tonight.
Where do you go?
St. Catherine.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's doing well. I think he's doing a good thing. I'm against it, Christian.
Okay.
So, give up the good time.
All right.
Hey. Tell you
good. Now, let me give you something to read. It talks a little bit about what we're...
Bible. Oh, cool.
There you go.
Well, that's the word. All right, just thanks.
All right. Take care, Joe. Right. Good talking to you. Ma'am, you know in your heart that this isn't right. There's a clinic right across the street that can give you better information. There's no reason for your baby to die because of the difficulties in your relationship. The baby shouldn't be punished for this. Can I talk to you before you go inside?
You have a vagina? Are you capable of having pregnancy?
That is a baby inside you, ma'am. It doesn't matter what your body structure is. It's still a child. Don't kill your baby. Can I talk to you folks before you go in? It'll only take a minute. This is huge what you're about to do. Can we talk about it for a minute? Please? You're carrying a baby, young lady. The baby deserves to live, just like you do, just like your boyfriend. Please don't kill your baby today. No, you're not. No, you're not. You need to have... No, you need... Look.
You know what? You're understanding.
My name's Tony.
You're understanding.
My name's Tony.
Okay? You're in my shoes.
Look.
How about you step in my shoes first?
Then let's talk about your shoes.
Our point of view.
Then let me talk to you and try to understand your point of view. There is a clinic right across the street that will give you alternatives other than killing your baby. You do not have to do this today. No matter how desperate the situation seems, the baby still has a right to live. It's your baby. But that doesn't give you a right to kill your baby. Come on, you know this is wrong. You know this is wrong. Don't do this. Have more courage, young man. Folks, can I talk to you before you go inside? There's no reason to do this.
Why don't you get a job?
Sir, that life in that little girl's body is important. Don't murder your baby. Wow. A dad bringing in his daughter, carrying a book.
Well, wow, indeed. When I first listened to these earlier this week, I was really shocked to hear that last one. A dad taking his daughter, the life that God gave him to care for, was bringing his own daughter to a abortuary to murder his grandchild. And apparently such a not a big issue to him that he was going to sit there and read his book while that procedure was going on. And I'll tell you right now, that just broke my heart. And folks, that's what's going on every single day across this nation, that the lives that God has knit together in the womb are being taken without a second's thought. There's no question that there are some who are clearly brokenhearted when they walk in. If you've listened to this show at all and you've heard these sound clips that Tony plays, there are times when you can tell these women are broken. And we need to show them that there are alternatives. that they, you know, in this case, there was a place right across the street that Tony often tries to direct these women to. But he also, and I think is a lesson for us, also takes them to God's word and said, this is murder, and what you're going to do is murder the child that God gave to you. And, you know, I think if we can show them that, if we can tell them that, then, you know, we're at least giving them God's word as the answer. So I'm always thrilled to see people like Tony going out and doing that. And, you know, it's just a blessing to hear this, because even though it really churns our stomach up a little bit, it's a blessing because it encourages us that we can to do this as well, and grateful for work for people like Tony. Speaking of Tony, I know he said if he can get in before the once he got out of the airport, he'd give a call. And Shane, if you would do me a favor and check, I think we got one call coming in. It might be him. If you would check with him and see who that is for us real quick. If it's Tony, I want to get him on here and see how his conference went. But that being said, in the meantime, if you benefit like the rest of us do from listening to Tony, I want to encourage you. He has sermons on sermonaudio.com. If you'll go to sermonaudio.com/pulpit and streets, you can benefit like the rest of us from the things that he is sharing with us. And, you know, just download those, listen to them, and share them with others, and it can help all of us to grow from that. Earlier, while we were, talking about the previous audio message, there was a question that came up in chat room, and I apologize, I missed that. It got reposted. And the question was, what do you do when you're handing out a gospel tract and you run into someone who says, well, I'm a Christian, so I don't need that? For me, the answer is, hey, guys, if you're a Christian, can you give that to somebody you know who isn't? I mean, if that's all the only time I have to talk to them, then please, would you share it with somebody? Read it and then share it with somebody who isn't a Christian. And that would be my first response to that. That way, number one, when I ask them to read it, if they are a Christian, then what are they seeing is a biblical presentation of the gospel. And that can possibly educate them, because we don't know we don't know how, if they've learned proper biblical presentation of the gospel, or if in fact if it's something more akin to God has a wonderful plan for your life. So if they're an actual Christian and they read that, then they're getting a biblical gospel presentation, and they can take that with them when they share the gospel with someone else. If they're not a Christian, but they say they are and they've read it, now they've just had the gospel given to them. So that's my first thing is, well, please read it. And then the next thing is to say, give it to someone else who you know isn't a Christian. That way, that keeps that gospel track going. And if that's the only time you get to actually to talk to them, then at least you were able to do that. And then from there, if you get half a second or two and you can get them into an engagement, oh, you're a Christian. Hey, how long have you been a Christian? What church do you go to? And start getting them into conversation. Then we can get into a little bit more deeper conversation and maybe even talk about a 3 minutes to live scenario like we're going to talk to you in a little bit. But that being said, before I go any further, I just got confirmation that we have Tony calling in on the line. Tony, you're here.
Hey, Chris, brother. How are you, buddy? It's going
well. We're good.
Well.
How's it going? How did it go this weekend?
It was a great weekend. As soon as I got off the plane Friday afternoon, we rushed down into downtown Lancaster to preach during what they call First Fridays in downtown, where it's a big arts festival. And we were in Penn Square, which was in the heart of the city, and we had two or three people break the sound barrier. We open-aired the entire time we were there, got into a conversation with an agnostic Jewish lady, an atheist, and a Satanist were a few of the people I talked to. And we were able to get some pretty good-sized crowds for the open-airs, and we're pretty sure that one young man came to repentance and faith. While we were out there that night, he was really really broken over his sin, and that was amazing. And then Saturday morning, we had a men's breakfast, and we probably had about 60, 70 men there, and I got to challenge them and encourage them with the word. And then I did about 2 hours of Q&A with some of the local evangelists at my host's home, and that was a really sweet time of fellowship and discipleship. And then Saturday night, we did an officer appreciation service, and we had a number of officers come from different jurisdictions in that area, and it was so cool. I saw something that I haven't seen. You know, I've done a bunch of services like this, but I saw something I hadn't seen before, and that was when the officers left. You know, they shook the host's hands and thanked him, you know, as you would expect. But then a number of them came back in and shook hands again and just said, no, I really appreciate what you did tonight. And it seemed like some of the officers in the audience were affected by the preaching. And so we're hoping we see some kind of repentance and faith. And then it was more fellowship and Q&A. I was blessed Saturday night to hook up with Mike Stockwell and Sykes and Kate. They were in the area, and so my hosts, Dwayne and Cheryl Everly, who were graduates from Academy No. 10, were kind enough to put Cy and Mike up as well for the night. And so we got a presuppositional apologetics primer from Cy for a couple of hours. That was amazing. And then this morning, I got to preach both the Sunday morning services at the host church, and the pastor's been there for 31 years,
wow.
shepherding this flock of about 500-600 people, and the whole weekend was like experiencing Acts chapter 2 with this church. I mean, it's just the breaking of bread, the fellowship, the teaching, prayer. You know, it was just great. And I preached twice this morning. Hit the congregation kind of hard on evangelism, but that's what I was asked to do. And you know, I always wonder when I'm stepping into another man's pulpit, you know, how this is going to go. I don't want to leave a mess for the pastor to clean up, you know, after I leave. But the pastor gave me a big hug after the second service and appreciated the message and the challenge to his people. And so I'm looking forward to, you know, potentially an ongoing relationship with the church and with the evangelism team there. And that's one of the things I'm really hoping to do through this new mission is connect with churches around the country and come alongside them and help their teams and encourage their people. And so I couldn't ask for a better weekend, and the flights were on time.
So oh, praise God. that right there is a miracle, my friend. Oh, man.
So,
go ahead.
No, I just wondered if you had any questions for me. I don't want to hold up the show.
When you were in that congregation and you're sharing and hitting them with the gospel, you know, like you said, you always wonder how it's going to feel. Did you get a sense from any of the folks when you talked to them afterwards how they received it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a number of people came up, and one young man during the first service said, you know, I'm not sure if I'm questioning my faith now, but at the very least I know I'm not doing enough. And several people came up afterwards and said they were encouraged. There was a couple who came all the way from New Jersey, about a three-hour drive for last night and this morning. There were folks who came up from York who were with me when I open-air preached at the Devil's Den in 2009 down there in Gettysburg. And so, yeah, it seemed to be well-received. I let the people know. I said, look, if you're angry about what you heard, I'm over it already, so I hope you will be too. But, you know, you need to ask yourself, am I telling you the truth? And if I'm telling you the truth, then you're obligated to do something about it. And it's time to stop playing church. And so,
right.
I think it went well. I think it was well received. And I know the folks from the evangelism team, which is well supported by this church. The church buys the tracks for the evangelism team. They've been teaching Way of the Master there for years. And so the church, as a, you know, as far as leadership goes, is very supportive of biblical evangelism and the folks who are going out on the streets. So this wasn't a situation where I was introducing something new to the church, but trying to light a fire under those who aren't getting out there. So as far as I can tell, it was well received. I don't think anyone's dropped me from Facebook yet. So.
Well, that's good. So you said when you guys went out that first night and you hit the streets, you ran into some very strange and bizarre folks that you had to talk to. What was probably the one that sticks out in your mind the most?
Well, the one that sticks out in my mind the most was Tim, who was the atheist. A young man, probably about 23 or 24 years old, so I'm old enough to be his dad. And it was interesting the way some of these conversations happened. There was one of the sisters who came up from York. Her mission that night was to find people for me to talk to. And she would just go around to people randomly and say, hey, I'm looking for an atheist, I'm looking for an evolutionist, I'm looking for an agnostic, I'm looking for someone who doesn't believe. And then when she would find them, she would almost literally drag them over to me with them having no idea what they're about to get into. and that was the case with Tim. And she asked Tim, you know, randomly, hey, are you an atheist? And he said, well, matter of fact, I am. I said, good, there's someone I want you to talk to. And so she brings him over to me, and I start to ask him about his atheism. And within a minute or two, he stops and he says, wait a minute, are you a Christian? And I said, yeah. She didn't tell you? No, I had no idea it was going to be one of these conversations. But I challenged him, and this is what I do with all atheists or believers of any stripe, unbelievers of any stripe. I just asserted to him, you're not an atheist. There are no such things as atheists. There are no atheists. There are no agnostics. There are no skeptics. There are only sinful people who hate God and suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. And so I started to challenge Tim on his worldview. And, employing some of what I've been learning from Psy, and, you know, we've had Psy on the show, and again, I want to encourage folks to go to its site, proofthatgodexists.org. And within moments, Tim was no longer an atheist in his mind. And he had to run. I didn't get an opportunity to share the gospel with him because he had to pick up his dad, but I put a couple gospel tracts in his hand, and I said, here, let me give, you know, can I give you my card? And he said, yeah, I'd love to be able to email you and talk to you more about this stuff. So I'm hoping to hear from Tim, the former atheist, who now knows that he will stand before God one day. So that was probably the most, out of a bunch of good conversations, that's probably the one that meant the most to me on Friday night.
That is awesome. Praise God for that, brother. Hey, I got one person asking in chat room two things. One, now that you've met him, do you believe that Psy exists? And two, did you learn anything new from him?
Did I learn anything new from him? I don't know if I learned anything new from him this weekend, but I got some more clarity on what he has been teaching me. And I'm telling you, I shared it with Ty this weekend, I shared it with others as well, that as liberating as it was to come to the understanding of the importance of the law in evangelism, I would say that being able to meld my biblical evangelism with presuppositional apologetics is every bit as significant in my evangelism as coming to the understanding of the use of the law. Because I'm not arguing with anybody. I'm just fully committed never to argue with another person about the existence of God. And as Ty has been helping me through this, I've actually been helping him as well in a small way. And what I've come to the understanding is this, is that any time we argue with somebody about the existence of God, we are playing God's defense attorney in a blasphemous courtroom where the unbeliever puts God on trial.
Right.
And we shouldn't be doing that. We should simply be asserting what the Word of God declares and what they already know in their heart, that they know that God exists. But because of their love for their sin and their hatred of God, they create this fantasy delusion in their mind that they are somehow autonomous and unanswerable to the Creator. And so instead of playing in their blasphemous courtroom, I simply assert what they already know in their heart, that God is,
right,
and they will stand before Him.
Wow. You know, and I think that's, you know, it's real easy to get caught up in that and trying to defend that God exists and to get into that discussion, and you're right. We're playing in their battlefield. We're playing their game, and you're right. That's absolutely blasphemous, and I'm glad that Cy reminded us of that the last time he was on the show. So
yeah.
I hope the folks that are listening can take something from that. I do have one other question before we let you go, because
sure.
I know several wonderful young ladies that if I don't ask them, they're going to get mad at me. Your family would like to know if you're on your way home yet.
Well,
or if you've left the airport yet.
Meeting with them. I started at Terminal 1 at LAX. We're up to Terminal 6 picking people up. Got one more terminal to go, and it'll probably be a half hour, 45-minute ride to the bus terminal where my ladies will pick me up. So still got a little bit of time on the road. These weekend trips are amazing. I tell folks I nap on Monday. Because, I mean, it is literally nonstop from the time I get off the plane to the time I get back on the plane, you know, 2, 3, 4 days later. And I love making, trips like this, being able to preach in new places, go out with new people, encourage, different churches. And I hope the Lord provides, the resources and the opportunities for me to do this a lot.
Yeah, we talked about that a little while ago, and we're praying that the Lord will provide us the means to get you the resources you need, and put the pitch out there, and we pray that that'll help bring some folks to in, and as God ordains them to be able to do so. So I tell you, Tony, you are a blessing to all of us when we get to see God put you to work like this. It is a blessing to hear you speak and to see the work you do in the lives of others, and we're just grateful that we get to be a part of what God is doing with you. And you know, all I can say now is go home, get rest, brother, because you're going to need it.
Hey, well,
I know.
You know, a lot. So much of it. Obviously, God gets all the glory for all of it, but these things are possible because of the team effort, because of the people around the country and even in other parts of the world who are praying for me and the family. People who are supporting us financially, you know, people who are encouraging us with emails and posts on Facebook, all the folks who are listening to our small effort here to bring a new radio show to the airwaves. I mean, it's so good to have this kind of fellowship among other brothers and sisters in Christ from around the world. Where we have that common bond of the one true gospel and the desire to get it out to the world. And so thank you to everybody who's listening. Thank you to you and Shane for pitching in today. You guys are doing a great job. And I look forward to being back on next Sunday. And you guys have a great night.
You too, brother. God bless you. Go rest. Go enjoy your family. And we look forward to having you back next time, man.
All right, buddy. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye. Well, that was great to be able to hear that and to hear the work that God did with Tony this weekend. One of the few things that I think we get so easily thinking about, we need to be sharing the gospel. We need to share the gospel. We need to share, and that is exactly what we need to do. But God has made us as a body gives us gifts to edify the saints. Now, that's one of the things we hope to do with this show, is to edify the saints, to build you up, to strengthen you, to go out and share the gospel. But you don't have to have a radio show. You don't have to have a blog. You don't have to be a pastor in a pulpit to edify the saints. God has given you gifts. And if you can edify a brother or sister by showing them what the Bible says about evangelism, and or even just pointing them to resources, you know, like Tony's sermons on Sermon Audio or Living Waters with their True and False Conversion and Hell's Best Kept Secrets. If you can spend time with people in your congregation, training them up just individually, then you are doing the work that God has set for you. Our command is to preach the gospel, but we are also gifted in the body to edify each other. And that means building us up and strengthening us. And if you know that your church is not strong in evangelism, maybe you can be the one that can go to the pastor and say, hey, I want you to listen to this CD about evangelism and tell me what you think. Or, hey, I'd like to be the one to teach a class on evangelism. And if you're in a church where you're not getting any traction with that, maybe you can be the one that shares it individually with your brothers and sisters, and enough people start getting interested that now the church goes, you know what, maybe we really need to rethink that, you know? So, like I said, we are blessed to have people like Tony and Ray Comfort and Todd Friel at Wretched who go out and train Christians all around the country and sometimes around the world to preach the gospel. But we don't have to be that. I'll tell you right now, and my wife can testify to this, I have so often beat myself up when I said, I'm not like so-and-so. I'm not like them. Why am I not doing what they're doing? That's not what God made me to be. I wasn't made to be Ray Comfort. I wasn't made to be Tony Miano. I'm Chris Honholtz. And he's given me certain skills, certain gifts, and a certain life to live. And I affect it in the area that he's given me. That was a hard lesson for me to learn, and it was a very humbling one. Use what God has given you in your environment, not only to preach the gospel, but that being the number one thing we have to do, but to edify your body of Christ, your local body, so that they too will go out and preach the gospel. So if there's anything we can take from that, and when we see somebody like Tony going out and being able to lift up brothers and sisters and preach to them, is that we also have been given gifts to edify the body, and let us be busy about that as well. So, again, great to have Tony back. We're just so thrilled, and we're really looking forward to hearing back next week, and we're praying that he gets lots of good rest and enjoys time with his family. So the next thing we've got lined up is the 3 Minutes to Live audios, and I'm going to try and get through all of these, but bear with me, depending on how much time, I'll try to get through them as many as I can. The first one that I'm going to take you to is a conversation that Tony had with Tracy on the 3rd Street Promenade. And Tracy's a professing Christian, and she talks to him, and he gets her into that 3 Minutes to Live scenario. And I want you to listen to Tracy's reaction. This is the type of thing here that we can use 3 Minutes to Live scenario to learn a little bit more about them. So let me start this up right now.
Good morning. Well, he is going to come, yeah.
Yeah, but not this. You think he's going
to come? I have no idea when he's going to come.
No.
Nobody does. But I'm asking people the question, are you ready? Are you ready to stand before God and give an account for your life? My name's Tony.
I'm Tracy.
Tracy, nice to meet you. You know, that word Christian, it has a lot of different connotations to it. Ha ha. Not sure how to interpret that, Tracy.
No, it's likely doing laughing. I wouldn't play with it. Yeah,
so how did you come to faith in Christ?
Well, what happened? I was having a good time in the world and blah, blah, blah. So I happened to start going to this church, Christ Church on Wilshire, Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And Minnesota was very nice, Reverend Hingo. And I was at my house one night. I started passing my tracks, what happened.
How did that happen? What did that
mean? I mean that I went to church, I accepted Jesus as my first sinner, and then I still continued to pass that track, but then something happened at the time I passed my track. I just, it was like the whole world. Very, very good. Very, very good. Very good.
So Tracy, if I wasn't born again, and you and I were friends,
mm-hmm.
and you knew that I was terminally ill and that I was going to stand before God fairly soon, what would you say to me?
Well, I would say to you, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
No.
Well, then I would say, let's get on it.
Why would I need to do that?
Because, number one, we want to be Christians.
Well, most people don't, actually. What if I don't want to be a Christian?
I think if I would talk to you and you would speak, I think you would accept it.
What would you say to me? What would you say that would...
We don't know, blah, blah. Let's accept Jesus Christ as the first Savior, just in case.
Why would I need to do that, though?
I think you would feel better. I think you would accept it.
But I think I'm a pretty good guy now.
Yeah, we all think that. Yeah, I have friends of mine say, oh, I'm good. I don't need to accept you for my first day because I don't force the issue on them. That's their choice.
And what happens to them if they don't? What happens to your friends if they don't accept Jesus?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Maybe they go to hell. But I can't make them accept if they don't want to. You can't force Jesus on them. You can't force nobody.
That's true. That's true.
Them,
yeah.
I can't force them to do that. I just continue on living. And the important thing is that you tell them. Once you tell them the blood is off your
But we need to make sure to tell them the whole truth.
Yeah.
Well, let's switch. This is what I would say to you if you were my friend and you weren't born again and we both knew you'd be dying soon. I mean, we're all dying. Every day we're one, but you're my friend. You have cancer. You know it. I know it. What I would say to you, Tracy, is that when that day comes, whenever it is, and for you it might be soon, you're going to stand before God to give an account for your life. And because God is good, He's going to judge you according to the perfect moral standard of His law. If you've ever lied or stolen, taken His name in vain, looked with lust, harbor bitterness or resentment in your heart, He's going to find you guilty. He's going to find you guilty of breaking His law. Because He's good, He must punish sin.
I disagree with you.
Well, let me finish. Okay, let me finish, and then we'll discuss. Okay? Because He's good, He must punish sin, and the punishment God has ascribed for sin is eternity in hell. And it doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. What matters is that it's true. But that same God who is angry with the wicked every day, that same God who will judge sinners, is the same God who is also loving and merciful and kind. 2,000 years ago, Tracy, God sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike you and me, He never once violated God's law. He couldn't because He was God in the flesh.
Yeah.
And about 33 years into that earthly existence, He voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered and died a horrible, bloody death He did not deserve, to take upon Himself the punishment you and I rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, He forever defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave. He's alive today. And what God commands of you, Tracy, is the same thing He commands of me and all people everywhere. And that's that we repent. God doesn't need our acceptance. We need His. We need to turn from our sin and by faith alone receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Because it's not on the basis of anything we have done in righteousness that we will see God. It's based entirely on God's mercy through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And unless you receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior, when you stand before God, you're going to receive what you deserve for your sin.
But at the same time, when you commit a sin, God tells you you have to ask God to forgive you of your sin. So if you die, why would you have to stand against judgment? He's already forgiven you.
No, God does not forgive everybody.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. If you were to stand before a judge in a courtroom and you admitted to breaking the law, not a case of mistaken identity, you actually admitted to the crime. And the judge says, Tracy, what do you have to say for yourself? And you say, well, Your Honor, I believe that you're a forgiving judge. And so I believe you're going to let me go because I'm sorry. Well, but if someone did, would the judge let them go?
We don't know that. We don't know that.
If the judge is good. No, the judge can't go by his heart. The judge must go by the law.
Yeah, but we don't know that.
We do. If the judge is good, the judge is going to punish the lawbreaker for the crime.
Well, I don't know about that. Look, a lot of people do it.
Well, okay, but God is perfect, though.
Yeah.
In fact, Jesus said you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, Matthew 5:48.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, none of us can live up to that standard. None of us are perfect. But God doesn't lower His standard simply because we cannot live up to it. No sin can be in His presence. No sin of any kind. And so He must punish sin. And so He must punish sin, or He wouldn't be holy, He wouldn't be good. The only way God can forgive sin is if God Himself pays the price for sin. And the only way we can receive that forgiveness is if we turn from our sin and put our trust in Christ. If we only talk about the God who is loving, and He is, but we do not talk about the God who is filled with wrath and angry with the wicked, then we're not presenting the God of the Bible. No one's saved by their good works. No one's saved by saying they're sorry. No one.
I see a lot of wicked people. Do this. And I'm happy they can be. Here we are, Christian myself, and my other friends and I. I'm already on the table. Here we are, struggling, praying every second of the day. God, please open the door for us so we can go to work, blah, blah, blah. Done.
So what does that mean?
Meaning that even though we are Christians, we're not fornicated, we're not joyous, we're not harming nobody, blah, 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 yet we're still on that work, it's not on the matter.
Well, because God doesn't owe us anything. If we do good deeds simply to get something back from God, then it's not because we love God, it's because we love ourselves.
Well,
God doesn't owe us work.
Well, He said He'll supply all our needs according to Christ Jesus.
Right, according to Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And our most important need is salvation. Our most important need isn't a job. Our most important need isn't a roof over our head.
If we
trust in Christ, we can.
I'm saying to you.
Right.
We are trusted. So where is the work from? Myself and all the rest of my friends.
God doesn't owe you a job.
Huh?
God doesn't owe you a job.
He said He can do all things.
Right.
And help you.
Right. According to His perfect will. His will may not be the same for you as yours is. He's not obligated to give you anything. And you don't, and as.
And I'm not obligated to serve Him either.
Well, yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
Tracy, you are. Yeah. Well, Tracy, then you don't believe the God of the Bible. You've created a God in your own imagination to suit yourself.
No, I'm just saying that.
Because God doesn't answer to anyone. He doesn't answer to Tracy. He doesn't answer to Tony. He doesn't answer to anybody.
What's the sense of worshiping our Heavenly Father? Don't misunderstand me. I do love God, and I am Christian. And that
well,
He's not supplying our needs according to His glory in Christ Jesus. You know, the sinner over there is getting everything. God's kids over there.
Well, God is not slow, as some count slowness. The fact that He hasn't judged them yet doesn't mean He won't. But Tracy, if you assert that I don't have to worship God or obey God unless He gives me what I need.
No,
that's what you said.
No, I'm just saying what He's not doing. I'm not saying I'll be honest with you, I have to read the Bible in order to get through. I have to pray in order to get through. I have to pray.
But you're relying on Tracy. You're relying on your ability to read, to do this, to do that, thinking that you deserve some kind of reward for your effort.
I do it for myself.
Well, then you do it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
You do it for the wrong reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, if you're doing for yourself, Tracy, then you're doing it to worship Tracy.
God don't need me to read no Bible.
But God commands you to.
Yeah, well, I do. He don't need me to pray. But
God commands you to.
Yeah, but I do.
And those who, Jesus said, those who love me will keep my commands. Not begrudgingly, not expecting to get something in return, but because they love God and because God has commanded them to do it. See, God doesn't negotiate with sinners. He doesn't negotiate with Tracy. He doesn't negotiate with Tony. He commands.
I pray that God and I have a beautiful
heart. Tracy, are you sure? I don't know your heart. I don't know your heart.
I was 7, and it's only been me and God. God has been really good for me. No matter what you may think anybody may think,
well, I would affirm that God's been good to you because God's given you breath. God's given you life. That's more grace than any human being deserves.
Look at Pete every day killing himself.
What's that?
Look at Pete every day killing himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at this man over the weekend.
Yeah, that famous director, Tony Scott.
It's too bad.
Yeah, because he found out he had cancer, so he jumped off a bridge. Found out he had inoperable brain cancer.
Yeah.
Tracy, Paul says in Second Corinthians 13:5, he says, "Examine yourself, test yourself to see if you're in the faith."
I'm in the faith, no matter what you may think. Or what
No. It's not about what I think. I can't judge anybody.
Yeah, you're a. Still have my disbelief and my belief,
What do you disbelieve?
A lot of things.
What do you disbelieve about God or the Bible?
It just seems like some of the things don't happen. Some of the things.
Like what?
A lot of things that don't happen. A lot of things that I read and I said to myself, But I do believe, even though I ask God to help my unbelief mind to believe, I still believe.
Now, you're a radiologist by trade.
I'm a radiologist technologist.
Okay.
And I'm
RGB. If I came up to you, Tracy, we met here on the promenade, and I found out that you were in radiology technology, and I said, "Oh yeah, I know all about that." And you said, "Oh, okay, Tony. What do you know? Where'd you go to school? Where'd you train? Tell me what you know." Well, this is a hypothetical situation, okay? But someone's coming to you claiming that they're a radiology technician.
Technologist.
And I were to say to you, "Well, Tracy, all there really is to being a radiology technologist is, you know, you gotta put on that blue lead filled cover so you don't get exposed, and then you lay the person on the table, you throw a slab underneath the table, you take a picture, tell them not to move, and you're done."
Yeah, but you gotta go.
Okay. The point is, Tracy, would you believe, based on what I told you, would you believe that I really know anything about your profession?
Well,
honestly.
Not really.
No. And here's the difficult question I have for you. If you wouldn't believe I was a radiological technologist, based on what I shared with you, why should I believe you're born again when you couldn't tell me how to come to faith in Christ?
I wouldn't judge you because you said that you were a technologist.
Tracy, would you let me operate your machinery?
If you say you're a technologist.
Tracy, would you let me take someone's x-ray?
Number one, I'm not a doctor. I'm not the radiologist.
Okay.
So in order to get to me, you got to go through them.
Okay, I understand. But the point is, if I articulated to you what I believed about your profession, and it didn't line up with your profession, there's no reason why you should have confidence that I know about your profession. That's reasonable.
Yeah, but if you said
and what you said to me, though, Tracy, when I asked you to share the gospel with me, was not the gospel. It wasn't the gospel.
Well, that's your opinion.
No. It's the truth. According to God's word, what you said wasn't the gospel. According to Scripture, you told me to accept Jesus. No, but that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel.
What is it?
I shared it with you.
Oh, yeah.
I shared it with you. Yeah, that Christ, that God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, lived a sinless life, died a sinless death on the cross. Oh, you're right, because, there's nothing but false teachers on that channel. Well, but right now I care about Tracy, a lady I just met. Okay? That's why I'm having the conversation, because I care about you. Right, yeah. But they will still stand before God and give an account whether they've been deceived or not. And he will judge them according to their violation of his law. Not according to the good things they've done, but whether or not they have violated his law. And we all have, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Let's get away from that for a second.
Okay.
Have anyone that you know that have passed away and came back and told you, "I'm in heaven"?
Why would that matter? Jesus did.
Amen.
Jesus came back. Jesus came back and told us what we must do. Jesus has given us his word. Jesus did. I don't need my great aunt to come back and tell me anything. Jesus Christ has already testified and shown himself by dying on the cross, being buried in the tomb, and raising from the dead. I need no more. So if that was somewhat an argument about whether or not heaven is real or whether or not what I'm sharing is the truth, Jesus did.
And if we need anything more than Jesus, we don't believe in Jesus. If we don't believe his word, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us, we don't believe in Jesus.
You know, I go on Wednesday night sometimes. I go just for the thing, but they're singing it just so really good. Have you ever been there?
No, ma'am.
They don't want to have nothing. They don't want to have nothing about Jesus. They just talk about God all the time. I go, Jesus, talk about Jesus at all. But I do go to my church. But I enjoy they sing it, and I go every Wednesday night because I really enjoy they sing it. But when the minister get up and start talking, I kind of like disappear. Because there's nothing about Jesus. It's about God.
Then why do you go?
Because I just tell you, I enjoy they sing it.
Then you're going for you.
Of course I am.
Well, then, Tracy, you're going for the wrong reason.
Well, I enjoy this thing, you know.
You should go to worship God. You should go for his glory, not for your enjoyment.
No. Well, I'm being honest.
I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your honesty.
Really good. Really good.
Well, Tracy, I've appreciated our conversation.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Something I wrote?
Oh, thank you.
You have a great day.
I shall. You too.
Okay.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Well, if you're anything like me, when you first heard that, I'm sure you took away from it, like, this person professes to be a Christian, and yet she's coming across like someone who almost has never even heard the gospel, and yet she's insisting that she is, in fact, born of the blood, blessed by God, born again Christian. And it was interesting because as soon as Tony started to ask her to tell me what the gospel is, her answer is probably what most people who say they're Christians are, is you need to accept Jesus. And a lot of times people may not understand a biblical presentation of the gospel, but in fact, when presented with it, they go, oh, I see what you're talking about. But when that happened with Tracy, a lot of walls went right up. She began to become very defensive. She began to object and say, well, I know folks who are not being blessed, and there's sinners over there who are being blessed. When Tony put her in the position of saying, you haven't presented the gospel to me, and the Bible says to, test to see if you're in the faith, she got very defensive and said, well, I don't care what you think. I'm a Christian. And she is probably what we would consider a good example of what very possibly could be a false convert. Now, obviously, we can't judge with any 100% certainty whether Tracy's saved. That's between her and God. But the 3 minutes to live scenario allowed Tony to get to the heart and say, you don't just not know the gospel, but you're talking about things like there are things in the Bible I'm not sure I believe. You're telling me that God owes something to people. You're telling me that you go I thought this was a really just an interesting one to me. At the very end, she's all, well, I go to this one place, and yeah, they don't talk about Jesus, but I go for the music. And it was this kind of, see, I'm spiritual. I know they're not talking about Jesus, and I know that's not great, but I go for the music because it's so great. And that was just, as someone in the chat room just said, red flag. That tells us something about her. She is looking to Tracy's work to justify she's a Christian, she's a good person, and that God should somehow reward that. So when we are, talking to someone who says, yeah, I'm a Christian, and the question was asked earlier, if you hand a gospel tract to someone and they say, I'm a Christian, that might, as Tony would say, might be code for this person needs to hear the gospel, because they may well be a person who, like so many in our country, will say, hey, I go to church on Christmas and Easter, or, hey, my parents were Christian, so therefore I'm Christian. Or they might be somebody who does go to church, but they go to a church where the gospel's just not being preached. And so it's never a safe assumption to say, when a person tells you, I'm a Christian, to just say that doesn't mean they need the gospel. We don't live in a society like that. We're very pluralistic. There's no, studies and statistics have been done to death to show there are youth in our country who don't believe that Jesus was sinless, that there's any truth, that the Bible isn't the source of all truth. I mean, there's so many indications that we just can't make that assumption. And this 3 minutes to live scenario does a great job of exposing someone who might be that type of person who is not a true Christian. But the thing that we got to remember is when we're presenting it to them, don't come across as, hey, you're obviously not a Christian. You got to get right with the program. Here's the gospel. We present it to them as lovingly and as compassionately as we would with anybody else. Because if this person is a false convert, a person who's professing to be a Christian when they're not, we want them to understand the great love and mercy of our Lord and Savior as much as anyone else. Now, I've got time to do one more 3 minute to live scenario that Tony did with two gals at CSUN, a college that he goes up to there. And I want you to listen to this one because I took something a little bit different away with this, and I want to see how you guys pick up on this as well. So here we go.
All right, so I'm standing here with Stacy and Christian on the campus of Cal State University Northridge, and Christian hasn't heard the question yet, so I'm going to ask her. I'm going to ask both of you ladies to answer the following question. If you had only 3 minutes to live and you knew it, what would your last words be and who would you say them to? I'll start with Stacy since she's had more time to think about it.
I think, can I have multiple people I say it?
Sure, yeah. Whatever you can do in 3 minutes, yeah.
I'd call my three younger brothers, my mom and my dad, and tell them that I love them and I appreciate them for everything that they've done and for being there for me through my trials and tribulations and things that I've struggled through.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Excellent. And Christian, how about you? If you had 3 minutes to live, what would your last words be and who would you say them to?
I probably would do the same thing, like call my mom and my dad and my siblings and tell them how much I love them. And then to say like a little quick prayer and ask the Lord to forgive me for all my sins and everything that made me fall short.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it.
All right. Now, I'm assuming Christian, not by your name, but by what you just said, that you have a Christian background?
Yes.
Okay. And Stacy, how about you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So let's switch things around just a little bit, okay? You both profess to be Christians, okay? And I am too. But let's say that we were all friends. You both knew that I wasn't a Christian, and I only had 3 minutes to live. Christian, what would you say to me?
I guess I would ask if you wouldn't mind to be, you know, ask the Lord, you know, give yourself to the Lord, I guess, before you passed away.
Why?
Because, I mean, that's my duty as a Christian, to try to draw my friends towards Christ.
Okay. Stacy, how about you? What would you say to me?
Hopefully I have my Bible in handy, and I don't know the address, but I do know the book. It's in Romans. I'd have you read that scripture and then ask you, are you okay to give your life to the Lord?
I've lost my sight. I can't read.
Okay, I'd read it to you.
So why would I? Now remember, I am a Christian, so I'm not arguing with you, but I'm like playing the unbeliever. Why would I need to do that? I've been a pretty good guy most of my life. I love my wife, love my kids, didn't cheat on most of my taxes.
Well, the thing is, it's like you can be a good person, but it depends. It's if you are you good with Christ. Because the thing is, like, you have to say that you believe that he died for your sins and confess your sins and say, ask him to write your name in the book of life and things like that. So you have to profess that you believe in him and that you believe that he died for my sins and you ask him to forgive you for your sins.
And what happens to me if I don't?
The Bible says that you go to hell.
That seemed very hard for you to say.
It is, because I'm not trying to, I can't say, Because who am I to judge? I can't judge you. I can't tell you that if you...
Well, you know that I'm not a Christian.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen to me?
So then you're going to hell.
Yeah. Is that uncomfortable for you to say Christian? Or do you disagree?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard for me to say, but then again, it's up to the person. If, like I said, it's my duty to share Christ with you. If you've been introduced to it and you decide to reject it, then that's on you. So, I mean, it is a sad situation, but you can get out of it as well.
So, now, Christian, you've said a few times it's your duty to share with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you did that?
Probably like about 2 weeks ago. We went to a Bible study on Tuesday night here on campus, and it was really nice. We usually have conversations every now and then.
But when was the last time you actually told a friend that if they didn't turn to Christ, they were going to hell?
Ooh. Not in a long, long time. I've never really been friends with people who aren't, you know, who don't have a relationship with Christ. I try to surround myself around people who do have a relationship with Him, so I can stay on track and everything, so I can have my right walk with Christ and everything.
So then how would you fulfill that duty if you try to surround yourself with people who share your faith?
It's a lot of people here. It's a lot of diverse people here on campus. Different people with different religions and different races and everything that believe in different things. So, I mean, I do talk to other people in class and I get to know them. So maybe that's the way I can try to, you know, share Christ with them.
And if you were to take that time to get to know one of your classmates,
mm-hmm.
Now let's say you have another class yet today?
Yes.
What class?
What class do I have? Oh, I have English class.
Okay. So let's say you were in English class today, and you took some steps to try to get to know somebody, and then you come back the next time class meets, and you find out that person was killed in a car accident today on their way home. Because that could happen.
It could.
Right? 160,000 people die every day.
I can just hope the best for them. I can say, I mean, I can. You can't pray anybody into heaven.
That's true.
I think heaven would be overflowed if it was. But, but I mean, I can just wish the best for the person and hope they had a relationship with Christ, and that's about it.
So, Stacy, when was the last time you had that kind of conversation with somebody?
When me and my youth group went evangelism across our neighborhood, where our churches.
How long ago was that?
That was in the summertime.
The summertime? And how often do you do that? How often do you have conversations like that with people?
With non-believers?
Yeah.
It's kind of, I'm in the same situation as Christian.
Okay.
Cause
a lot of Christian friends?
Yeah, a lot. I try to be even.
And that's good.
Yeah.
It's good. We're supposed to surround ourselves with brothers and sisters in Christ. That's true.
I try to surround myself. I try to be evenly yoked with my friends. So, yeah. Because, I don't really surround myself around non-believers. So I don't fall off track.
But I do have some friends that are based in Christ. You know, they're little Christians, so they're still learning. I try to teach some of them that you can't be a lukewarm Christian. You can't dip in this over here and then go to church on Sunday and just, I love the Lord, and all. You can't do that. So I do try to, you know, help them. I mean, I fall short every now and then, too, but I do try to help them.
As we all do.
Yeah, I do try to help them, you know, get back on the right track and everything.
Okay. All right. Let's switch things up now, okay? I'm a Christian. You two ladies aren't. Okay? I'm not saying you're not. It's just we're going to do a different scenario. We're going to switch this time. But here's the situation. I'm driving down Zelza here on the east end of the school. You two are in front of me. You go through a green light. Someone's texting. They come through a red light. And they hit your car. Okay? And I'm a retired deputy sheriff, and I am. that's not pretend. And so I jump out of my car, try to help you out, and you both look very bad. And it's obvious to me from my experience seeing things like this that neither one of you are likely to survive the crash.
this is what I would say to you, okay? I would say, ladies, it doesn't look good, and chances are in the next few minutes, you're going to stand before God to give an account for your life. And when that happens, because God is good, God is going to judge each of you according to the standard of His law. If you've ever lied or stolen or taken His name in vain, looked at a young man with lustful thoughts, harbored bitterness or resentment in your heart, which God sees as murder, God's going to see you as guilty of breaking His law. And because He's good, He must punish your sin. And that punishment is eternity in hell. But that same God who will punish the wicked, that same God who will judge sinners, is the same God who is loving and merciful and gracious and kind. 2,000 years ago, this God sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Fully God, fully man, without sin. Now, I don't know you ladies, but what I do know is this, is that He lived the perfect life that you could never live. And about 33 years into that earthly existence, He voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered. He died a horrible death He did not deserve, to take upon Himself the punishment you ladies and I rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, He forever defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave. And time is short for you. And what God commands of you now is that you repent, that you turn from your sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If you stand before God in the next minute or so, clothed only in your sin, you're going to receive justice, and you're going to go to hell. But if you repent and put your trust in Christ right now, when you die and stand before Him, you'll receive what you don't deserve and what I don't deserve, which is grace and mercy and everlasting life with Jesus Christ. Now, big question, okay? Because I know I've put you on the spot a little bit, all right? But big question. Did you ladies hear anything different about what I shared with you and what you shared with me?
I don't think it was different. I just think it was more in depth. I just think it was more in depth than what we shared, yeah.
And Christian, what do you think?
Yeah, the repenting part. I didn't bring that up. Yeah, I forgot to say, you know, you can repent and ask the Lord to forgive you and everything.
Well, let me share with you some of the things that I didn't hear you say, okay? You mentioned one, repentance, turning from your sin. He didn't really tell me who Jesus was. The Mormons believe that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is the incarnation of Michael the Archangel. The Muslims believe that Jesus is a good prophet. And Oprah believes that He's just one of many ways to heaven. Right? So by just mentioning the name of Jesus without telling me who He is, God in the flesh, you're assuming that I know which Jesus you're talking about. I might be thinking of Oprah's Jesus, right? Which is just one of many ways to heaven. Okay? You didn't mention anything about His death on the cross. How can my sins be forgiven? My sins aren't forgiven by accepting Jesus. My sins are forgiven by what Jesus did on the cross in my place and His resurrection. So, I appreciate you girls giving me so much of your time. What year are you here at TSUN?
Freshman.
And what are you studying?
I'm undeclared right now, but I'm thinking about sociology.
Okay. And Tracy, what about you?
Freshman.
And what are you studying?
I'm as well undecided, but I'm thinking about kinesiology.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. I want to leave you ladies with this. Okay. This is the largest campus in California. 37,000-38,000 students on this campus. This campus is actually bigger than USC and UCLA. All right. And the vast majority of these people, if they die today, they're going to go to hell. Not because I say so, because I'm no one's judge, but because they have not turned from their sin and put their trust in Christ. And if you have friends or if you know people who aren't saved, and you withhold the gospel from them, that shows how much you don't care about them. Because ultimately we do what we care about, right? Now, do you believe Jesus is coming back?
I do.
And do you believe Jesus is coming back?
I do, pretty soon.
Yeah, okay, pretty soon. Right, He can come back at any time. Nobody knows when. He can come back today,
yeah.
Right? if we as Christians believe the Lord can return at any moment, then we shouldn't assume that we have a long time to tell people we care about Christ. We should be doing that today. Right? Ladies, thank you very much for your time. It's been a blessing meeting both of you. All right. You have a great day.
Okay, now, if you heard the previous one with Tracy, and then you hear the three-list scenario with these two young ladies, I wonder if you heard what I heard, which was the reaction of the two young ladies here and how different it was. There wasn't the defensive measure. There wasn't this, oh, wait a minute, you're judging me. It was, oh, yeah, you know, I need to say that. I didn't say repentance. I didn't say faith. It was more of, almost like they lacked the knowledge of what it meant to actually preach the gospel to someone. And that's another thing that's great about the 3 minutes to live to scenario. It gives you an opportunity not only to gauge where a person is. Are they potentially a false convert, or maybe they are a genuine Christian, but also, is it the fact that maybe you're just dealing with somebody who's never actually been taught a biblical means of preaching the gospel? And I would venture to say that these two young ladies, after they left and talking with Tony, that they walked away with a lot to think about. Not only were they thinking, wow, he brought up stuff I hadn't considered, but Tony left them with a huge chunk to think about, which is, you're in the middle of a huge campus that is filled with people who are going to hell. And these young ladies were willing to admit that without Christ, a person goes to hell. And that was an encouragement to me to hear, because there are churches today that don't want to say that. And yet these young ladies, as hard as it was for them to say it, they were willing to say, yes, without Christ, you're going to hell. And he painted that picture for them that said, you're in the huge campus in California, and you're spending your time in these other areas, and you've got the life-giving words of Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with that? And I think, if I was in that scenario and I was confronted with that, it's certainly going to give me a huge amount of things to think about. And I believe that when we meet with other Christians and God opens that door for us to not only share the gospel with somebody that doesn't know Christ, but to also now present the biblical gospel to someone who's never been taught to do it right or has never considered the implications, we can be a blessing to that individual who's never thought about what it means to truly obey the command of Jesus Christ. So when we have that opportunity and we hear, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, this is a chance for us to, one, preach the gospel to someone who might not be a Christian, but two, to teach someone who is a Christian. So that would be my encouragement when you're out there and you're sharing the gospel, and whether that's on the streets, whether that's at your workplace, with your friends, with your family, this is an opportunity to break the ice when someone says, I'm a Christian. You can say, hey, let me ask you a question. If I was dying, what would you say to me if you knew I wasn't a Christian? And it really puts you in an entirely different scenario, one that some people has never, ever really thought about. And if you're listening to this show on podcast, or if you're listening to it live now and you're a Christian and you've never thought about that, let me ask you, what would you say to someone who's dying in front of you, who's about to stand before God? What would you say to them? Would it be, you know what, Jesus has a wonderful plan for your life? Is that really what you want to comfort someone with who's dying in front of you? Or is it, as Tony so compassionately presented, you're dying and you're going to be judged, and you need to repent and put your faith in Jesus, put your faith in Jesus Christ. All right. If you're a Christian and you haven't thought about that scenario, please do. And Shane, before we close up, what do you think about the 3 minutes to live scenarios about that we've been sharing?
Oh, that's been very helpful. It's a good way to gauge. You're right in saying it's a good way to gauge where people are at, and so it's a good way to gauge it. I mean, maybe they're a false convert, maybe they just have really bad doctrine or really bad understanding of a specific biblical doctrine. So that's just a good way to, I mean, it keeps the conversation going and just bring it all back to Christ. And God forgives only on the basis of Christ and what he did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen to that, brother. Well, folks, we thank you for hanging in for the sidekick version tonight. We're praising God that things went well, and we had some good conversations. We got to play some audio clips. We were thrilled to have Tony call in on us. And to share, as Tony say, as we head on our way out, be encouraged, strengthened, and unafraid, and proclaim the gospel. Thanks again, guys. Have a good night.
Night.